How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here for the next 2 hours talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, as we are every Sunday, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, as well as Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, here on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Sports Zone, the American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, iTunes, the list goes on and on, the most listened to pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the entire world. Already the phones are ringing, but I hate to tell you, no calls for a while. We've got a lot of big things to talk about here today. I'd like to apologize at the start of the show. Both Mike and I are sick. I've got a cold. Mike's got a head cold. But we are going to trudge through these next 2 hours, and we've got a lot of news to talk about, not the least of which is a worldwide story right now, the in-ring death of Pero Aguayo Jr., the biggest star in AAA down in Mexico. Passed away on Friday night, because I heard about this first thing I woke up Saturday morning, 9 million messages about this. There's video all over the place. He was doing a tag team match down in Tijuana with Rey Mysterio, of all people. Rey Mysterio's return to Tijuana in the ring, and it was a tag team match, and in the middle of the match, Pero Aguayo took a dropkick to the shoulder and flew into the ropes to set up the 619, and apparently, in hitting the ropes, snapped his neck and died. He apparently, the latest news is that he did not pass away until they got him to the hospital. But the moment he hit the ropes, it appears his neck was snapped. He was out. He was unmoving, unresponsive. And apparently, as a result of the snapped neck, he suffered a heart attack at the hospital and passed away. We're going to be joined after this break by the Doctor of Lucha himself. Steve Sims is going to be on the show. He's going to tell us all about the career of Pero Aguayo Jr. and all of the news on this story. There's a lot of misinformation out there, particularly as it regards Rey Mysterio. So we're going to talk to Dr. Lucha about that, plus all of the news over the next 2 hours. So stand by for more Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Mike, you hanging on?
I am indeed.
All right. We're both dying over here. Actually, I shouldn't have said that. I apologize, everybody. But we are both very, very sick here today. We are joined by the Doctor of Lucha himself. Steve Sims is on the line. Got a lot to talk about here today. And how are you feeling, Dr. Lucha?
This is impossible. I'm actually the healthiest person here, and I just got out of the hospital.
We'll talk about that. Mike's sick. I'm sick. Hopefully.
Just tests.
Okay, but you're feeling better?
Yeah, they had to do them inpatient because they were going to knock me out. I got some strange readings on a glucose tolerance test for diabetes that they wanted to really, really check out thoroughly. I won't even know the results till tomorrow. They don't seem worried, though.
That's good to know. Well, bad news, obviously, to talk about here today. One of the biggest tragedies in Lucha history, and it's made worldwide headlines, the death of Pero Aguayo Jr. In a match. There's tons of video footage of what happened. It's still absolutely... I wrestled for over a decade. I've watched this video over and over. It's baffling. It's completely baffling what happened. It's unexplainable. It's just a complete fluke accident. Tell us what happened, Dr. Lucha.
Well, the end of the match, what happened is that Rey Mysterio Jr. gave Pero Aguayo Jr. a Tijeras Voladoras, a flying head scissors combo that's designed to fling your opponent outside the ring. When he got back in, Rey gave him a drop kick that was to push him towards the rope so that he would fall on the ropes in perfect position to take a 619. And Aguayo, from the time he took the head scissors to the time he got to the point where the drop kick kicked him in the ropes would have been, I don't know, what, 10 seconds maybe, like that. And from that point, he went from what appeared to be functioning at 100% to functioning at 0%.
Steve, when we were leaving the show...
Believe it or not, I've actually had somebody just do one of the... You've heard the old cliche that they had a heart attack and they were dead by the time they hit the ground. I actually had that happen to me with somebody many, 25, 30 years ago. But I've actually seen somebody just go from 100% to zero in 5 seconds.
Go ahead, Mike.
I know there's a lot to talk about the Aguayo situation and everything, but when we were leaving the show last week, one of the last things that Brian and I were talking about was the rain that was coming down that ultimately canceled or postponed Triple Mania. And the week obviously just got worse from there for Triple A. And even though the Aguayo thing was not in a Triple A match, quote unquote, it affects the company directly. Before we talk any more about the situation with Aguayo and some of the fallout from it, can you kind of just go through what happened this week with Triple A and this being as bizarre and as tragic a week for any wrestling company ever?
I can. Yes, it's rare that a company has a week where this many different, very serious bad things happen to them. I mean, they've had, you know, wrestlers no show. They've had in Mexico, Dr. Wagner Jr. was paralyzed, and Angel Blanco Jr. was killed back when they were mega stars on the way to a card. But for repeated incidents of a very serious and bad nature, this has been just a very, very bad week, like I can't remember, for a wrestling promotion. They were going to have, and I'll give the summed up version. I'll go into more detail in this coming, I'm writing a big article that I hope will be accepted for publication in Figure Four Weekly this week. But
oh, I don't know, Steve. We'll have to talk about this.
With more details. But they were going to have their biggest, not their biggest show of the year, but one of the four or five shows that they actually promote themselves. Like New Japan, they send out a lot of their small shows, even TV tapings, to local promoters. This one they're promoting themselves. They had it already, and then suddenly it rains the day of the show. So they decide to cancel the show postpone the show that day and move it to the next day being a national holiday. They could not get the stated causes. They could not get the permits to run the show. I'm a little dubious about that. That is something I would think somebody would have known at the moment that they tried to get it arranged for that day, but they didn't announce it till just before the show was about to start. But anyway, they said, no, it's a national holiday. The proper permit offices and authorities would give you permit to run the building, send a fire marshal, make sure everything is up to snuff, et cetera, haven't been taken care of. You can't run it. But the promotion says, well, we're still not going to take a chance on going back outdoors, so we will decide to reschedule it again. From Sunday when it was rain to Monday where they couldn't get the permits, they rescheduled it for Wednesday. Well, on Monday, they had set up the arena. They brought the whole staff from Mexico City, from the office in Mexico City. They brought the whole staff up there. They got everything set, and then they couldn't run the show. Well, they didn't need the staff anymore. The staff was just costing them 2 days' hotel rooms and restaurants and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So they put the staff on the bus, and they had the skeleton crew they needed to actually just run the show when the show went off. And they sent the people on the bus home, and the bus was in an extremely serious auto accident in which virtually every one of the 18 people that that AAA had on the bus was injured, and one was killed. It was a lady who was in charge in the office. She did several things, but amongst the things she did and the thing that she was most responsible for was she was in charge of the staffing organization, outside dates, et cetera, of the intermission dancers, the hostesses, the Ericanes that AAA has called Las Reinas del Ring, who provide a mid-card a break or entertainment during all the big shows. They're on TV as bumpers and that sort of thing. Her name was Irma Orsoyo. She was very well respected. A lot of the people who were no longer with AAA were said to have been just devastated by the fact that a very sweet and kind office worker had passed away. And that was just... You know, at that point in time, we thought, like, this is just somebody's cursed right now. When they decided to move the car to Wednesday, at that point, Brian Cage became unavailable. He was going to run a match with the mega champion, Alberto El Patron, former Alberto Del Rio, but he couldn't go, and it may have been for the best. They were going to have to run an angle because Alberto had torn his quad. They were going to do something that, and I don't know what it was, but they weren't going to be able to have a full match. Alberto just literally couldn't have a full match, so for him that was a bit of a break. They could have done a whole variety of angles. They wanted this program to continue down the line, so it would have ended up somehow with Cage doing evil and dastardly things towards Alberto. But they had promised that an appearance by Alberto, and they had promised this match to the fans when they bought the tickets, and now they were going to have the show and not have this match on there as well, which gave another reason for fans who were having to scramble their midweek schedule not to show up. So they had a very poor attendance. The rest of the show went off the way that it was supposed to, but they had a very poor attendance. They managed, they were hoping for a bull ring that seats 12 to 14,000 at a little bit higher than normal ticket prices to sell it out and to get that revenue into the AAA coffers for paying the office staff and for paying the wrestlers, et cetera, et cetera. Instead, they got a smaller arena with regular prices and a much smaller percentage of the gate. I mean, I think it was a third to a quarter full. So they took a big financial hit, AAA did, this week from what had happened. And then, of course, there was they had signed Rey Mysterio Jr., and there's a very active promotional war going on in Tijuana, not at the level of, a national war, but just in that little area. Several groups are trying to run the auditorium there on different Friday nights and establish a fan base. The auditorium only seats 5,000 people, so you're only asking people to come by weekly to see your show once a month, and then three other promotions, the other three Fridays of the month, are trying to get people there. Well, when Ray became available, since he lives less than 15 miles as the crow flies away from the auditorium, this promotion called The Crash, which is
Actually, Steve, hold that thought right there. We'll pick it up when we come back from the break, talk about the show in Tijuana and the death of Paraguayo Jr. here on Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, as well as the Doctor of Lucha himself, Steve Sims, is here on the line. And we're talking about the death of Paraguayo Jr., a terrible, terrible week for AAA. And we have just gotten to the period where they're running a show. What was the name of the promotion again that was running the... Crash?
It's The Crash.
Crash, that's right.
The Crash is the name of the promotion.
That's right. And they ran the show in Tijuana on Friday night. Go ahead.
Yeah, and they just had a couple of, two or three of the AAA guys there. But when Rey Mysterio Jr. became available, they contracted him because the biggest possible money feud in AAA is at the present time was to be Ray and Pero one day. They had the two be already start naturally jawing at each other and going back and forth on AAA TV. So they brought him in as a feud match with each other. They brought in Tigre Uno from TNA to be on one side and Monique or TJ Perkins under a hood on the other side to do the other spots, but it was the crowd was drawn to see Ray fight Pero, and then we got to the end of the match.
Now, the word that we have been given is that I thought that it was instantaneous death, but it is looking like he had vital signs when he was taken to the hospital. They pronounced him dead about an hour later, and I don't know. It appears from all reports that there probably was nothing that could have been done after the initial injury. My question, having watched it many, many times, and also comparing this to the death of Mitsuharu Misawa, who was internally decapitated in a match. He'd suffered serious neck trauma for many, many years. His neck was an absolute mess, and he took one bump too many and passed away in the ring. Pero Aguayo Jr., I don't know the state of his neck. I don't know if we know the state of his neck. My assumption, and I don't know anything here, and we may never know, because I'm not sure he was... The funeral was today, so I don't know how much of an autopsy they performed, but do we know anything about the state of his neck?
We don't at this time, or at least I don't. It's possible that within the small community or within his family that he'd been having tests like this, but it wasn't publicly aware. Public knowledge. Nobody seemed to be aware that he was having issues like this. And if to a large extent, you know, this is his income, this is his job. If he were feeling pains and feeling something serious happening, stuff like that, I can see him doing it on the QT because he didn't want to run the risk of losing what was appeared to be, he was on the cusp of being in one of the prime positions in anywhere in the world outside of WWE to make a whole bunch of money, because AAA was up until a week ago, looked like it was about ready to become the number two promotion in the whole world. They just had everything lined up in a row, and Pero Jr. Was going to be their top heel.
Mike, let me ask you this question, because we were talking last night about neck injuries and such, and Dave was noting that he didn't have any atrophy, for example, in his left arm, which a lot of guys that suffer neck injuries, they start to get atrophy, they start to lose strength, and their left arm begins to atrophy. We didn't seem to see any of that with Pero. I don't remember if we saw that with Misawa. I mean, Misawa never had like a great muscular physique to begin with. He was just a big, thick, solid guy. Do we know anything about him? I mean, did he have those symptoms, or did he just have a terrible neck and it didn't affect any of his arms or anything?
It's kind of hard because he never had that built body like you were saying anyway. I mean, he looked like every bit of a 46-year-old man that had taken a lot of, you know, that had wrestled a lot, but he didn't have that, you know, he never had that Hogan body or like a, you know, a big, thick, you know, he was a big, thick guy and everything, but he just looked like he wasn't working out as much and he was older, which he was. But I think when it comes to Misawa, it was just a more of, he was one bump away. You always hear that, you know, talking about like Edge was one bump away and he had to stop. Misawa, you know, I don't know if he was ever, obviously, I don't know if anyone ever told him that, you know, you may be one bump away, but he's, again, as time went on, he took a lot of beatings and took a lot of, you know, drops on the head and things like that over the years for All Japan. And he was almost a 50-year-old guy. And it just seemed to be that his, you know, it was just his time to go off of a bump. And that was the, you know, that was the case as far as the, you know, the aesthetics of how he looked. You know, he just looked like a guy who got older and was not in as great of a condition as he used to be, you know. But then again, I don't think there was ever a sign, though, that, you know, something like this could happen, whereas an Orndorff or a Billy Graham or something where you saw a physical change in that person and you saw a physical change in their arms.
And you had a question for Steve.
Yeah, I was just actually going to be really, you know, the plans for Aguayo and that they were going to have for him, that he, how big of a, you know, how much did this play havoc, one, on the promotion, but also can you kind of talk about, because his father is such a legend, and has been written up, not in the same way Emil Mascaras was, but it's not like Pro Wrestling Illustrated and the bigger magazines of the 80s and 90s, even they recognize the influence of his father, and his father is not doing well right now either. And just, I guess, talk a little bit about what Aguayo was scheduled to do, and also this really sad situation with his dad.
Triple A had been dreaming about bringing in people like Mystico, who's now Mystisease, Pero Aguayo Jr. from many, many years past, had always been saying that if he ever had a big feud with Mystico in CMLL, they could have kept the run going and Mystico would never have left CMLL. They could have kept business up really high for a long time, but CMLL went in a different direction. Pero was the top heel in the group for a number of reasons, in large part because he could talk and sell and get the bit of a feud over, and because he was fresher than either a Cibernético or Macias, who are probably next on the totem pole. AAA is very, 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 very technical heavy. Without Pero Aguayo Jr., I mean, it's like, it's ridiculous. It's like 9 of your top 10 stars or 9 of your top 11 stars are baby faces. So they have to address that very, very shortly, starting with the next TV taping. But while Pero was there, he was probably set up to do something just unthinkable, like winning the Mask of Místico or winning some kind of stipulation match to set him up for, to set Aguayo up for a even bigger push, to have even a bigger fall down the road, either to Rey Mysterio Jr. or to Alberto, as on the heel side, Aguayo has, at the moment, the only mask or hair that fans would fill up something larger than where they normally hold Triple Mania to see. So he was set. I mean, he was just looking at a future where for the first time in about 5 or 6 years, the income he was going to make from wrestling was going to exceed the income that he made from his sale of T-shirts. For people who didn't know it, his Perro de Mal gimmick was so hot from 2004 to about 2011 that for each year except one, he made more money in selling merchandise in the commissions and merchandise than he did wrestling. And he filled some pretty good arenas during that size. During that time. However, he has never once been and isn't now the star that his father was. His father was a bigger star. In fact, within the business right now, for the people who are alive right now, you know, the business has been around 80 plus years. More people, if you ask them who was the greatest luchador Mexican wrestler in Mexico of all time, would pick Perro Aguayo than I think anybody else. Dave has posed this question to a number of them in the past, and Aguayo's name comes up before anybody else's. In a combination of the work rate that he had when he was younger. When he was old, he was almost immobile, but in his younger days, he was a flyer and a brawler at the top level. He had an amazing charisma. He was decent enough on the mic to be the everyman that the fan could see himself getting behind or fantasizing as himself doing that fight. He was the babyface who fought back fire with fire, and he was the father that protected his son. He was just a gigantic, gigantic star. The business is not big enough in Mexico right now. Lucha Libre is not big enough to have stars of that magnitude right now. That's Perro Aguayo Sr. was at a level that it would take something for the business to grow back enough to get stars of that nature. However, Perro has also took bump after bump after bump for 30 to 40 years in the ring, and has either early onset Alzheimer's disease or just senility dementia. And this is something that has been known in Mexico for about 6 or 7 years. People don't tend to talk about it because it's a very sad situation. And he is, let's just say he goes, the story, I guess, is be described to me best is he kind of goes in and out where he's lucid. There are times during the day when he remembers things and times when he doesn't.
Now, did they tell him about what happened?
I have heard three stories from people that said they did tell him. That you can't tell of, even though it's going to break his heart and just crush a man, it's hard to, you know, eventually he's going to find out. Then you're going to find out that all his friends knew and didn't tell him. That people just bit the bullet and said, we got to tell him. I know the initial instinct was not to say anything because they were afraid that he would take this and just go into severe depression. Severe suicidal depression. But I believe he has been told, and I believe we will find there are pictures of him associated with the funeral service that was held today. That is very common in Mexico. They look at death differently than we do. There are open casket funerals, and there are frequently amongst not just wrestlers, but just celebrities, when they die, frequently in casket pictures that are publicized without It's an accepted thing within the society.
All right. Stand by, Steve. We'll be back in just a moment with more. We've got the press to talk about. It's something to talk about. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, and the doctor of Lucha himself. He has a doctorate in Lucha. I'm not sure if you're aware of that. Steve Sims is here on the line, and Steve, obviously, because this was a person dying in a wrestling ring, which is always going to be a story, but also because there were so many videos that were available within 24 hours where people could actually watch the incident themselves. This made worldwide headlines. Associated Press, The Times in London, I believe. It was on the Drudge Report. It was everywhere. And
yeah. ESPN.
ESPN, that's right. And the problem is, of course, that whenever there's a mainstream story about wrestling, something has to get screwed up. And there were all sorts of terrible things written, particularly in, of all places, Mexico, where I believe TV Azteca was even running a story with the headline that Rey Mysterio kills Perro Aguayo Jr. What to make of this, Steve?
The common one around here that you can hear on the because I'm in San Diego today, the Mexico radio stations and stuff like that, is that it is stated more, a little more carefully than this, but what they sum it up is Rey Mysterio Jr. Faces the possibility of spending up to 8 years in jail if he's found guilty of having caused the accidental death, involuntary manslaughter, of Perro Aguayo Jr., which is a really sordid way of not stating that he actually did anything, just that the people are looking into it. But yeah, it had video.
Didn't it come out today though that they'd pretty much just at least the commission had ruled that it was just an accident and nothing else would be.
Yeah, but the commission is, once the attorney general for the state of Baja California Norte takes care of it, the commission's opinion is just an opinion.
They
don't have prosecutorial powers, or they wouldn't be used as if somebody, and Aguayo's family would not do this, but filed a wrongful death lawsuit against the promoter.
So provided that the family doesn't do anything, I mean, I suppose something could still happen, but what are the chances that Rey could face time?
How many times have we said on this on our shows over the past few years that the world kind of doesn't operate on reality, but it's a perception of reality? Rey's image may get hit, even though he may end up, and will, in fact, he will end up. This is, in my personal opinion, just ridiculous. Even if he did everything twice as hard and did the moves exactly as planned as he was, it's like getting killed at the end of a boxing match. It's an accident. It was not a deliberate, nobody's responsible for anything. But the question is will his reputation now become the headline that people saw in the first 24 hours when they saw the video? Because they might not be around 6 months from now when the autopsy is formally released and the charges are dropped, et cetera, et cetera. What may stir in their brains, people's brains, is exactly what the media, this is the way the media works in a lot of situations, and a lot less serious situations than this, is the first impression they give. You, of all people, should know that a lot of people who remember the story of Chris Benoit remember facts as if they were facts, which were the first facts that they learned about the case, not necessarily the facts that once all the very calm analysis was done.
That's every major crime.
And, all the media doing its attempt to, I understand they got to get ratings, and there's a lot of competition. I understand that this is a story that's unique and bizarre and odd, and with famous people that have been on their TV, because Perro was in a reality show, Mexico's top reality show at the time that he was on it. So he is known beyond wrestling circles, and Rey Mysterio Jr. is known beyond wrestling circles, but yeah, it's the coverage is sickening, for lack of a better word. I don't mean to be sickening in an accusatory sense, but it makes me sick to my stomach to hear the stuff that's being either alleged or just teased like clickbait to get viewers to click or to listen in or watch TV.
I saw it all over my Facebook yesterday. It was ridiculous. The articles were, listen, I did not want to watch the video. But I pretty much had to watch the video because I'm reporting on it. If anybody listening to this never wants to watch the video in your whole life, more power to you. But if you're going to write a story on it, you probably should watch the video. And some of the stuff written was just so ridiculous. Like Rey Mysterio hit him in the neck with a 619, which, clear as day, this did not happen. And yeah. it was infuriating to see this stuff.
Well, I'll be more accusatory. There are like mainstream places like Fox Sports, and I'll single them out just because they did this. Now, ultimately, they changed the picture. But when they reported on it and sent out their tweet, you go to it, and the first thing you see is a big picture of Rey Mysterio, which that's bad enough. And then you go down and then there's footage of it. And yes, this footage is available anywhere, but these companies as a whole, ESPNs and the Fox Sports and things like that, will not show major injuries. And I just, it kind of gets me, because if somebody were to die in another sport, would they be playing it? They don't even like to play compound fractures of broken legs. But because this is a wrestler in Mexico and Rey Mysterio was in the match, that they put that up there and then have the teasing headlight of, you know, big picture of Rey Mysterio that says Pero Aguayo died during a match with Rey Mysterio. And that was, again, that's not even as bad as some of the other ones. It was very, very creepy. And I know a lot of things are different in other parts of the world as far as what they will show on the news and what they will show. You know, when Macho Camacho got shot, you know, WAPA, the American version of WAPA, had a lot of, you know, very graphic stuff. It seems to be, you know, we're a little more prudish here in America, but in some ways that might be good. But to see guys drop it for the sensationalism of watch this guy die in a match with Rey Mysterio Jr., former WWE superstar, was really piss poor.
It is, and even in Mexico, I think this where standards are a bit looser in the coverage of things that people will watch and show. I think this is going to have some really serious consequences and negative feedback. We'll see. I could be wrong, but I think this may be the incident that's gone the insatiable quest for ratings and the images that come along with them may have gone a bit too far.
So,
either of you ever see the Oro match where he died?
I don't think that I did. Did you, Mike?
I have.
It's not nearly as direct. It's not nearly. I mean, he just takes a bump, and it looks like it could have been. He could have injured anything until he rolls out of the ring, and then you see them working on him. But he's clearly still alive as he's being carted back to the back. But it's not, you know, CMLL knew that day, on that particular day, that was a match on a Tuesday. He was dead on a Wednesday morning, and they had till Sunday to decide whether to air the match in the card, and they just aired the match without any comment or reference whatsoever back then. Just like this was the card that happened last Tuesday night. Didn't say a word.
So what is the status of the... Because I saw, I mean, some of the footage was from... TV Aztec, if I believe.
The one from the side, the very sharp images from the side were TV Aztec.
Yes. So I guess what is the status of I guess that match and the matches that have already been taped for AAA that involve Pero? I mean, what's going on in terms of what's going to air and what's, do we even know? I presume these decisions probably
have
been
made. They had to make a very, very, very quick decision. I mean, he died in the morning, Saturday morning, Mexico City time would have been about 3 o'clock Mexico City time. They had 12 hours to make a decision as to what to do. His match from Rey de Reyes was scheduled to air, we believe. I mean, it wasn't, I didn't see the exact listing, but I was led to believe it was going to air that day on national triple and be released on YouTube and whatever. And I believe what happened is they pulled the match and showed an earlier match that had been taped but was never going to see the light of day. It was just, you know, it was just get everybody's sea legs under them for the real matches that they wanted to show on TV later. So I think they pulled it. I'm guessing now that the Pero Jr. is dead, that this match will never see the light of day, and the promotion will just go off in a completely other direction. I would expect in 2 weeks they will have some kind of entire a show honoring Pero Jr. To do so would be, in the modern era, would be fairly normal. And then after that, they've got a triple mania to build to that's very, very financially crucial for the company. So, as you know, it's an entertainment business. The show goes on. They're going to have to change their plans around. They've got their lead heel is dead and their lead face is injured and may not be able to work, and they're going to have to figure out what to do.
Now, I think that historically when somebody passes away, no matter what business is like, it always seems that when the promotion runs a big show in the immediate aftermath, that show always does very well. I don't know if it's because fans want to come out and just support the company or what the situation is, but would you presume that something like that will happen for Triple Mania?
I would think so. They have the Triple Mania name will sell itself. They have some feuds that they can run on a wrestling basis that won't come anywhere near to bad taste, that will get people hot for seeing wrestling matches. They've got to find 20,000 people in a city of 20 million to go to one show a year, because AAA only really books one important show in Mexico City each year. So I expect they will still be able to sell out for Triple Mania, which is in late July or August, and something we haven't mentioned is it might have been a little bit earlier, but UFC booked Cain Velasquez for Mexico City, so it's going to be a little bit later than they had originally thought, and I think they should be fine, unless of course they are cursed and more bad things continue to happen to them.
One other quick thing here before we have to wrap this segment up. This is astonishing to me. Maybe I shouldn't be surprised, but the story is that Rey Mysterio is getting death threats. I was just, this was brought to my attention. Is this true?
Not that I had heard.
Okay.
I have heard, in fact, he was getting a lot of very, you know, he lives in Chula Vista, and 99% of his neighbors are, he has a big complex that's more or less, on the house where he lives, he also owns a house on either side of him. So his neighbors aren't right next door to him and stuff, but his neighbors are very friendly. And he's a very, actually, off the scenes, he's a very quiet, very calm, very nice, and extremely religious person. And I think he's getting a lot of support. I don't think there are, you know, the internet, the anonymity of internet and social media will until the anonymity is eliminated, will always engender a certain percentage, far too high for my liking, but that's the nature of having free speech.
Okay, Steve.
Trollish behavior.
Okay, hold on one sec. We got about a minute, Mike. Go ahead.
Steve, I guess just real quick, too, just because there's a lot of promotions that people maybe aren't, is AAA actually on TV invisible to anybody in the United States?
They
not in the Lucha Underground form?
It's not on a U.S. television channel, but they give it away for free on YouTube, each of their, or you can see it through YouTube. If you go to a site called Lucha Blog, if you just search Google for Lucha Blog, you can find a listing of TV times every Thursday where he lists puts the links up to where they are. You can see it.
Well, Steve, I want to thank you so much for doing the show here today. We're going to wrap this up. But, of course, Steve, every week in Figure Four Weekly has got an exclusive column on Lucha Libre. Right down in Mexico, too. Is that correct?
That's correct.
That's right. So if you happen to be...
It's up in the air. We're thinking the magazine's been on hiatus. We're thinking it's coming back.
Okay, so I want to thank Steve. Of course, we'll have him back on in the future, obviously. And when we come back from the break, we got a lot of stuff to talk about here today. A lot of news in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. WrestleMania is coming. Raw is tomorrow. The Go Home Show. Brock Lesnar's got a big decision to make. So much stuff to talk about today. Back in a moment. Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. This is the final segment of the first hour. We got another hour coming here, and we're going to be talking about all the news in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, wrapping up the coverage here of the death of Perro Aguayo Jr. I did see a article here on the Daily Mail. Apparently, Alexandra Klausner, and Evan Bleer of the Daily Mail and Associated Press. I don't even really want to go on a rampage, but... this article is talking about how Perro Aguayo got drop-kicked in the neck, which of course he didn't. I don't know why it's so hard to find somebody to talk to that knows what they're talking about when you're writing a story about wrestling. It's not like Dave Meltzer is hard to find. I can give you his phone number right here on the air. It's public record if you'd like, but that was rather infuriating. Anyway,
yeah, I don't want to be the old man that yells at the cloud, but as I get older, there are just, you know, things move on, things change, people change, society changes. Some, you know, journalism in a lot of ways may be better, but in ways like this, where it's all about quickness and sensationalism and getting it out there without actually going through it and understanding what you're doing or what you're reporting about, is just ridiculous.
So when we come back, we're going to talk about Monday Night Raw, everybody. It is tomorrow. It is the final Raw before WrestleMania, and Vince McMahon wants Brock Lesnar signed before the day is out. Is it going to happen? I don't think so, but we can get Mike's thoughts on that at a debate about this topic with Todd Martin on the show on Thursday, as well as everything going on in Lucha Underground, TNA, Ring of Honor. We'll take your phone calls, 855-478-4478. So much coming up in hour two, so stick around, everybody. Back in just a moment, Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts as we are every day. Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, every single day we're here. Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern. Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. Saturday morning replays, daily replays. I believe 21 hours of programming every single week on Sports Byline USA's radio network. Sirius Satellite Radio Sports Zone, the American Forces Network, the Cable Radio Network, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, iTunes, the list goes on and on. The most listened to daily pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. After the first break, we're going to start taking your phone calls here on the program. A lot of stuff to talk about here today. Getting a lot of people on Twitter talking about what a great value the website is. I've been retweeting those. I don't know if you guys are aware, but I was tweeting back and forth with Max Landis during the show on Friday. Wrestling Isn't Wrestling, the video on YouTube, and a caller had asked about it, and I noted that I had been told that WWE was not happy with the video, and this word, so to speak, got to Max Landis, and he responded to me that I was wrong, I was a fool, they were very happy, and long story short, Triple H has tweeted about how much he likes the video. Stephanie McMahon, I believe, has followed Max Landis. I believe that Max is going to be backstage at Raw tomorrow. I don't know for sure because I did not talk to Max about this, but I was told that he was going to be backstage at the show tomorrow. So I guess, long story short, at the end of the day, good for Max Landis. Wrestling Isn't Wrestling, everybody, up on YouTube. If you want to head up there, it was close to 1 million downloads when I last checked. And I have offered Max a spot here on this radio show if he wants to come on and talk about it. We'll see if that ends up happening. But the door is open for him. So if I got that story wrong, as I noted in the download for the show on Friday, I do apologize. But suffice to say, I didn't make the story up. I just repeated what I was told when somebody asked a question. And apparently that information was incorrect. We can talk more about this after the break, as well as take your phone calls, 855-478-4478, Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline USA radio network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Phones are ringing like crazy. Crazy's calling in. Maybe. We'll find out. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland.
I was definitely wrong about the crazies. What's going on, Ryan?
My question is about Rey Mysterio. What match or storyline was he supposed to have with WWE for WrestleMania 31 if he was to re-sign with Vince McMahon? If you don't know, just give a suggestion then.
I don't know, but I always kind of had the impression it was going to be something where I don't know if you'd put him in with Kalisto, or I always felt it was going to be some sort of pass the torch storyline. I don't know what they were planning with him. I know they did have an idea for a storyline, and when I heard that, that was right around the time that they were wrapping up the run of the Lucha Dragons. My timeline could be wrong, but I wouldn't be surprised. If I can find out, I will let you know, but I don't know.
Yeah, they've at least knocked around the idea of having that, the most masks. That became like one of those Guinness Book of World Records things where, you know, the biggest largest amount of people wearing a luchador mask or something like that. That's kind of the direction I thought they were going to go with something like that.
Anything else, Ryan?
I just wanted to let you know my last name isn't Ladd, and you should have it on file on the email, but please don't say it on the air.
Don't say it on the air? Okay, I won't. I want to thank you. I did find you on Facebook, though, but I won't reveal that one either. I was unaware that Ryan and I had been... it's funny. I've mentioned this on another show, but a long time ago when I first got Facebook, I was unaware that eventually they would cut you off in terms of friends. Unlike on Twitter, where you can follow as many people as you want and you can be followed by as many people as you want. And so I just... Anybody who requested to be my friend on Facebook, I friended them. And before you know it, I had 5,000 friends, and I couldn't go over the limit, so I made a mistake early on. But anyway, in that time that I just randomly favored or friended every single person that requested to be friended, I was unaware of 90% of them probably. I maybe knew a couple hundred people that I friended. The rest were just people that asked. So it is funny over the years, like I was Facebook friends with Ryan from Cumberland, and I didn't even know it until a week ago. And then a couple of weeks ago on the Brian and Vinny show, we were on YouTube, and we were just randomly playing YouTube videos. It started out with, we were talking about Eric Rowan and how Eric Rowan had never won a match, and I started Googling Eric Rowan, and I went down the rabbit hole on YouTube, and we ended up finding this promo by this guy named Brody Hoofer. He was cutting a promo about a match with Rowan, and we listened to it, and we laughed and laughed and laughed. It was the greatest promo of all time. And the next thing you know, I had to get Brody Hoofer on the show. So somehow Brody Hoofer found out about this, and he made a comment on Twitter. And so I friended him, and then I sent him a DM and everything like that. Anyway, Brody Hoofer is going to be on the show Tuesday on the Brian and Vinny show. But the funny part was, after I had already gone through Twitter to find Brody Hoofer, I randomly discovered we had been friends on Facebook, I believe, for years. And I never even knew about it. So it's funny how the world of Facebook works. The people that I'm friends with, I remember I went to Granny's Facebook, and she was in the hospital, or I can't remember if she was in the rehab center or something like that, but I was on her Facebook page, and on the left-hand side of the page, there's a list of all of her friends. Like when you go up to Facebook and you scroll down and it just says, you know, this is so-and-so's friends, and it shows 9 of them, I believe. And I'm looking at Granny's Facebook friends list, and there's Tommaso Ciampa, and I can't remember who else was on there, but I was just like, I'm not even friends with Tommaso Ciampa. Here's a Ring of Honor star who's friends with Granny, of all people. Not even friends with me. Facebook is an amazing world. Just wanted to throw that out there.
You don't know how happy I'll be after Tuesday if Granny and Brody Hoofer can hook up.
They're not on the same show, but that would have been amazing radio. To the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Danny from Cheltenham.
Danny,
how you guys doing?
We're doing great. What's up?
I just wanted to thank you guys for getting the facts straight on this Paolo Aguayo Jr. story, because there's been a lot of false reports out there. My question is, how will this affect the industry, honestly?
That's a good question.
Hello?
That's a good question. I don't know. There have been, I think we lost him. There have been many guys who have died in the ring in Mexico. It certainly hasn't brought down the industry. It would be one thing if this happened, for example, on a U.S. independent show, and you, like, there were no ambulances there, there was no doctor there. I can see a change occurring because of something like that happening, but we didn't even mention this on the show today, but if you watch the video, it takes a while for the doctor to get out there to tend to Paolo Aguayo Jr. after it was clear something was wrong. And when you first watch the video, your thought obviously is, why wasn't there a doctor there? And why did it take so long for this guy to get down to ringside? Well, the reality of the situation was, not only did this promotion in Tijuana have a doctor there, I believe they had a couple of doctors there, and they had 2 ambulances. WWE has, maybe they have 2. I know they have 1. But your average independent show in this country, I would bet that a good portion of them do not have an ambulance at the event. They don't have a doctor on call. This is a commission state, and this is required. I mean, this was a show that they had everything that you would want there running a professional wrestling event. 2 ambulances, doctors. The problem was 2 guys had got hurt earlier in the show. And so the doctor wasn't at ringside for this match. He was in the back tending to guys who were already hurt. They brought a table down to the ring to put Paolo Aguayo Jr. on because the stretcher was being used by somebody else who'd injured their back. They had to take Paolo backstage and move this guy off the stretcher so they could put Paolo on the stretcher to take him to the hospital. Now, if this had been an independent event in just some random city and there'd been no ambulance and no doctor and something went wrong and somebody died, yes, maybe there would end up, if there was enough press, some changes to the industry, or to the very least, the state in which the event took place. But because it happened in Mexico, because the doctor, because it, all of that stuff, I don't think there's going to be any major business changes because of this.
No, it was a horrible freak occurrence, and I don't know what else you could change. I mean, Misawa, when he died, it was a backstop driver. Oro, I can't remember. I think he had rolled through. I can't remember exactly what it was when he had passed away. Plum Mariko in Japan, it was a brain buster. With Aguayo, the amazing part of it is you look at it and you think, okay, it's not, if you've seen guys in wrestling, I mean, look at some of the stuff that has been done with guys being tossed off of scaffolds and light tubes and all this other stuff, and there aren't deaths, but it's just the plainest of moves or the, just moves that you see all the time, that it was just a freak thing that happened. And I don't know what else you could do other than it's a reminder to everybody involved on what kind of risks that these guys take, day in and day out. It's a reminder, that wrestling is fake, but what happens in there can be very, very real. And also, it's a good reminder if somebody does not have or wants to run a show, or if you want to be a promoter, that you should have a doctor there, you should have an ambulance there, just as a reminder to have all of this stuff. Even though they were late to get to him, they were tending to two other guys that were hurt. So I don't know what could possibly, change it. To me, it was just such a freak thing and just a very sad freak thing.
Some people get very, very upset when you use the term fake in regards to pro wrestling. And if you get upset about that, I mean, it's everybody's own opinion if they like that word or not. Some people get so infuriated by it. And all I know is I wrestled for a long, long time, and I always refer to it as fake. I do jiu-jitsu. That's real. I did pro wrestling. That's fake. Does that mean that wrestling is not dangerous? Am I in any way demeaning wrestling? No, I did it forever. It's not demeaning to call it fake, but it is very, very dangerous. And you can get hurt, and people get hurt, and people die. And you need to take it very seriously. You need to respect it. I'll be back in just a moment with more Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We've got Mike Semper Vivi here on the line, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are both battling colds here today, downing DayQuil like there's no tomorrow. Let's go to the phones. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
It's John from Arkansas.
What's up, John?
Not much. Sorry you two gentlemen are battling ailments. Hopefully those will get cleared up before the week moves forward.
Don't even remind me. Travel is coming up. The worst thing when you're sick, travel.
Yeah, that sucks. I've done that once or twice. I saw the Aguayo incident, and, it's one of those things, it was a freak accident. But I have to take umbrage, like Mike did, with some of the reporting that's been done by mainstream media on this situation. It's exactly like what you said. Dave Meltzer is not a hard guy to find. Talk to an authority on the subject before you make great grand presumptions. And I also have something to say about the whole wrestling isn't real video. I'm not necessarily offended by it, but there are portions of it that I thought, okay, this is just coming from some, way too snotty attitude type era fan, that you get a computer and all of a sudden you're an expert on things. That kind of thing. So that bothered me just a little bit.
What didn't you like?
Well, being that I am a staunch Jim Crockett Promotions fan, the little old jabs at Ric Flair were what got on my nerves.
Mm.
That being the biggest thing. And it just comes off to me as somebody who's historically ignorant to the contributions that Ric Flair made. That's all I'm going to say about that. Get off my soapbox about that. I kind of have that Jim Cornette fire and brimstone to me about that kind of thing.
Well, to be fair, I want to thank you very much for the call. To be fair, he is old. That is a fact. I don't want to get ranting and raving about the coverage of this story, but it is somebody on Twitter, when I was ranting about the Daily Mail, Richard here says, the Daily Mail is known for its clickbait articles here, a formula which works for them, unfortunately. I'm well aware of that. I was up reading the article, and down the right-hand side of the page, there were 9 million other articles to click, many of which involved boobs. It was very tempting. But the point of this is, it's not even the clickbait stupid headlines is one level of idiocy. But when you're writing an article and you can't even get the basic facts about what happened right, listen, I've screwed up before. I just, at the beginning of this hour, issued a correction. If you screw something up, then just go back and fix it. Go back and make the correction. This article talking about how Ray drop-kicked him in the neck, okay? It's Sunday. This happened on Friday. It's Sunday, and I'm still reading in the Daily Mail about how Ray drop-kicked a guy in the neck. Okay, if you want to quote whoever you want to quote and you want to write whatever you want to write and you want to do whatever you want to do and provide whatever pictures and video you want, fine. But can we change the part about how Ray drop-kicked a guy in the neck, which led to his death? It's infuriating.
Nope, can't do that because it's still getting clicks.
You know what? It'd still get the same number of clicks if you took out that he drop-kicked him in the neck.
I know, I just... This is where we're, and you know what? The fact of the matter is, people click on it, and that's why it's there. That's why these things, you know, it's again, different mentality, but if nobody clicked on these things, then it's like, you know, who makes the Kardashian stars? You know, everybody talks about how much they hate them. Well, somebody's got to be watching them for them to, you know, to make the money they're making and to be driven down everybody's throats and, things, you know, articles like this and sensationalism and that type of BS, if it didn't work, they wouldn't do it. So people are clicking on it, so it does work. It's just too bad that it happens.
Maybe part of the problem is I don't know. On our website, I do not want any of these goofy headlines. Because my whole thing is, is anyone coming to the Wrestling Observer website and not reading the daily update? I mean, does there have to be something in the headline that compels you to click? Or are you just going to click on the daily update? You know what I mean? Like, you're either going to click on it or you're not. Right?
I would think.
Does the Daily Mail have such an issue with their readership that they have to put some sort of clickbait headline? Otherwise, nobody's going to read their newspaper. Is that the problem? I don't know what the problem is here. I don't know why this is necessary. It's not 1999. It's 2015. I'm shocked when I see clickbait articles in 2015. It just is astonishing to me. To the phones, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Tony from Michigan.
What's up, Tony?
Want to talk about Undertaker Bray Wyatt match at WrestleMania. In your guys' opinion, if Undertaker needs to cut a promo to address the streak ending last year and Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman mentioning the streak ending in every single one of his promos, or is the WWE just kind of sweeping that under the rug?
Well, they're clearly not sweeping it under the rug because they mention it all the time, but I don't picture him doing a promo. I picture there being some sort of video that talks about the streak, shows a clip of the streak ending, and then Undertaker comes out, and in some way he redeems himself. He tombstones Bray Wyatt, he pins him in the middle, you give people the happy ending, and away you go. As I've mentioned many times on this program, I wouldn't be surprised if Brock, if he does not end up re-signing, and they've got to write him off TV for a while, I would not be in the least bit surprised if the guy that tombstones him out of the company for the next couple of years ends up being The Undertaker. I can completely see that happening on Monday night. Whatever happens, happens. Undertaker comes out. You have a big brawl. And Undertaker takes the guy who ended the streak. He tombstones him on on the steel steps or something like that, or through a table, or God only knows, something blows up. And we don't see Brock Lesnar again for 2 years, and that's the Undertaker's revenge right there. I can see him doing that, but I don't see them. Just the way that WrestleMania is always traditionally put together, I can't imagine them having him do a promo before or after that match.
It just seems like the match is just pointless because he's going to win, and it's just going to kill Bray Wyatt even more than the whole Cena feud they had last year. And if Bray should happen to win, well, it's no big deal because Undertaker's a broken down, beaten man, and the streak's over. So it just seems like a pointless match to me.
Well, I want to thank you very much for the call. I think that, I mean, think of all of the guys over the years that Undertaker beat. Everybody, all the way up until Brock Lesnar. And very few of those guys, unless they were brought in specifically to just be a big giant that he would kill. I mean, Undertaker beating you at WrestleMania is not the end of your career. I think that if they have a really fun match, I think if people really get into it, I think if they go back and forth, I think Undertaker beating Bray is certainly not the end of Bray. You could argue whether it's the case or not, but their feeling obviously is that Bray Wyatt being in the match with Undertaker at WrestleMania is a huge elevation of Bray Wyatt. And really, at the end of the day, whether it is or not, the future of Bray will be determined on what they do after WrestleMania, not that one night.
And I hope they do something with him after WrestleMania too. Like a lot of guys, I hope they, because they have done a good job with Bray Wyatt this year. Obviously, what, you know, his, you know, work at the Royal Rumble tossing Daniel Bryan probably, you know, it should have gotten more of a reaction than it did as far as people being upset with Bray. That didn't exactly happen. But they have done a good job with him. Now, whether you like his promos or not, that's a little bit of a different story. But they have kept him strong. A loss to Undertaker won't kill him if you can build something with him afterwards. And there's a lot of guys on that list of what they need to do afterwards.
All right, to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Trina Michaels. I'm calling from Miami.
Well, what's happening?
Not much. How are you guys doing tonight?
What's going on in Miami?
Not a whole lot. I actually wanted to talk about what's going on in San Jose, California next week.
All right. Now's your chance.
No, I just wanted to call in one last time and remind all your listeners that I, Trina Michaels, will be at Hood Slam next Thursday, Friday, and Saturday in Oakland, California. You can find all the details on my Twitter as well as their personal website. And I would like to extend my personal invitation to the Suits of Ring of Honor to come and see me live in action so that they can see what a true manager of champion looks like.
Oh, man. Didn't we have this last time, this challenge to Ring of Honor management?
Yes, yes. And I am continuing it because I do not believe that they deserve to have a loser as their manager of their tag team champions. So
I think they should call out this person by name.
Shayna, what's up?
Shayna had a rough night. She had a rough night last night.
She did. Hey, you know,
I expected you to cut a promo on her.
I get you, but still.
At Trina Michaels, by the way, is the Twitter address. So you want Shayna Baszler. Now, what if how about in a fight?
Hey, like I told you before, I am trained in crazy, so I will challenge Shayna to a fight for the manager position of the tag team champions. You know what? I will. There you go. I said it.
All right. Well, Trina, we got to head to a break, but I want to thank you very much for the call. At Trina Michaels, everybody, is the Twitter handle, and she'll be at Hood Slam 3 days, San Jose, California, WrestleMania weekend. Check it out. We'll be back in just a moment with more Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA radio network. You heard that, man. It's the voice of Bellator right there. 855-478-4478 is the phone number. 855-478-4478, taking your phone calls for the next 20 minutes. For the latest news in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, you can always head to WrestlingObserver.com. Tons and tons of news up there every single day, and yes, more radio shows. If you can't get enough of this show, I do shows every single day, only for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. Tonight, I'll be back with Vinny. We've got a big show tonight. We're going to be reviewing the Impact show, which apparently had an awesome Bobby Lashley versus Kurt Angle TNA World Heavyweight title match. We're going to talk about that, plus New Japan on Access, which is always an awesome show, and perhaps Ring of Honor as well. That's coming up tonight on the program, only for subscribers. And, of course, as a subscriber, you not only get all of the subscriber-only shows, but you get every Wrestling Observer live show that we do every single day, Monday through Friday, plus Sunday afternoons, and every single show we've ever done dating back to 2005 is available in the archives. Over 7,000 hours of audio. You will never run out of audio if you sign up. If you like this show that you're listening to right now, you will love your subscription to WrestlingObserver.com. Also, full access to Figure Four Weekly. In the opening hour, we were talking to Dr. Lucha Steve Sims about the Paraguayo Jr. situation. Steve writes a column every week in Figure Four Weekly. David Bixenspan does a great job on the newsletter, as does good old Big Vinny V. So check that out. You get the Wrestling Observer newsletter as well. 35,000 words of news and information every single week. If you see a story on the internet, it probably started out in the Wrestling Observer newsletter. So you may as well go to the source. And not only do you get the newsletters, but you get archives of the newsletters as well. So if you are a wrestling fan, it is the number one pro wrestling and mixed martial arts website in the world. It is the number one subscription site. There's nowhere else you need to go except for WrestlingObserver.com. So check that out. And with that, to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Dave from Tacoma.
Dave, what's up?
I just wanted to first say that I love your guys' show. Whenever anyone calls, you never make them feel like they're an idiot for calling or anything.
We have no idiots calling.
No.
Except Ed.
But no, you still make him feel like he's a great guy.
Well, Ed is a great guy. To be fair, Ed did really help me out over the last couple of days. So a big thumbs up to Ed.
I wanted to call about what they're trying to do, your comments about Roman Reigns, why he doesn't have any fanfare. They're trying to still make him try to be the next John Cena with no, I can't, yes, no, he can't, yes, he can thing. And I think that's what they're trying to do. And it's just the fans are not trying to go buy into it. It worked for Cena, but it's not working for Reigns. When he did it for Cena, it was the right time. Everything was right. But for Reigns, it's just the wrong time.
It was, it came about when they did it with John Cena. And it to me, the problem is, as you noted, it's too similar to John Cena. The next John Cena can't be John Cena. He's got to be somebody completely different. Dave on the show last night thought that this Roman Reigns run was going to be like the Kevin Nash, the Diesel run of 1995. And he may be right. My thought is this is going to be the next Ultimate Warrior. The Ultimate Warrior was a guy who they tried to make the new Hulk Hogan. But, you know, he wasn't saying, say your prayers, eat your vitamins, etc. But he was just another Hulk Hogan. Big guy, did the big comeback, it was too similar. And that's why it failed. And I feel that they're doing that with Roman Reigns. And one thing I want to say, I want to thank you very much for the call. We got a house show report from last night in Anaheim, I believe it was. And everybody cheered for Roman Reigns. My buddy Craig went to the house show here in Seattle last week. What did he report? Everybody cheered for Roman Reigns. They cheered for Roman Reigns last night louder than they cheered for Daniel Bryan. Roman Reigns was the most over babyface in Anaheim, California, the house show last night. So I don't know what to make of this. There's always different reactions at house shows as compared to TV. Reactions are not the be-all and end-all. If people cheer Roman Reigns like crazy and they buy tickets for his shows and they buy his merchandise and everything is a business success, yet he gets booed on TV. As a business person, you just got to go ahead with the guy. I don't know what the other business indicators are in terms of Roman Reigns, but that will be determined in due time.
And it's not the end of the world. It really is not the end of the world. This whole build-up to WrestleMania has been flat. I don't think the match will be flat because of Brock Lesnar being in it. You know, the reaction to Reigns after WrestleMania is still up for grabs right now. But you know what's the worst that happens? You make him a heel. And he can, again, The Rock may or may not be there at WrestleMania, at least in some capacity. But even if it's just behind the scenes, anytime he can bend the ear of The Rock because look what The Rock went through. This isn't going to be the end of Roman Reigns. I don't see him falling into a Dolph Ziggler hole or anything like that, or a Wade Barrett hole where he's just another guy. I think they have plans for him no matter what, and no matter what happens, you still have legs with Roman Reigns. You just, again, the buildup to this has been bad. Who knows what's going to happen out of it? But if things don't go his way, you can always make him a heel. And then that, I think, will help matters. It really will if they decide to go that direction, because then everybody can hate him for a reason. And you can do what you did with The Rock. You can do what you've done with a lot of other guys over the years. And that's planned for him to one day flip back over again.
Got a comment here from Paul on Twitter. He says, Brock beat Undertaker for a reason. Having Taker lay him out is dumb. Only 140 characters, so he couldn't expound on that. But I understand the idea that maybe you want to make a star in running off Brock Lesnar. But if Brock Lesnar is not re-signing with WWE and he signs with UFC, it's probably going to be a two-year deal. Because it's probably going to be like a three-fight contract, at least. He's not doing three fights in 1 year. So he's going to be gone for 2 years. So who runs off Brock Lesnar? Daniel Bryan? I don't see WWE. Have you been watching what they've been doing with Daniel Bryan lately? He's in a ladder match with a bunch of dingbats, including
R-Truth. Yeah, that ship sailed.
Yeah, they're not having Daniel Bryan choke him out or put him in the yes lock or run him off. So it's not going to be Daniel Bryan. So who else would it be? Dean Ambrose?
Come on.
Who else? I mean, who runs off Brock Lesnar? No matter who runs him off, he's not back for 2 years. Who knows where anybody's going to be in 2 years? No one's going to remember in 2 years if Dean Ambrose runs off Brock Lesnar. If Dean Ambrose runs off Brock Lesnar, I mean, do you really see WWE pushing Dean Ambrose any different the next day on Raw or on SmackDown or whatever after running off? Because I don't. I don't think that there's anybody in the company right now who is going to get a rub running off Brock Lesnar. Is it going to be John Cena? I don't really think we need John Cena running off Brock Lesnar. I could see them doing it, actually, since Lesnar beat him in three matches. But, I mean, to me, the Undertaker getting beaten at WrestleMania by Brock Lesnar, yes, that did wonders for Brock Lesnar. Paul Heyman made that into a legendary thing that nobody will ever forget. And a lot of people disagreed with the decision. But you can watch the videos. They just played one on Raw last week. When the Undertaker got beaten at WrestleMania, people were shocked and they were saddened. And to give them a happy ending as you get rid of Brock Lesnar, as you run him off the show, I think that giving people that happy ending the night after WrestleMania of Undertaker getting his revenge and tombstoning him and sending him packing, I think that that's the best thing that you can do, because I don't have any faith in them giving anyone else the opportunity or following it up in any conceivable way, having anybody else on the roster do it. You can have Roman Reigns do it. He beat him at WrestleMania, presumably. I can't think of a better alternative right now than The Undertaker.
No, your only other option, because you go either Undertaker, you say Roman Reigns, but like you said, he already beat him at WrestleMania, and it wouldn't have the impact anyway because Roman Reigns isn't over to that degree. The only other guy to me that you could have it do it is Randy Orton, and you have him get punted in the head. But then you have to get a scenario where Randy Orton has taken down Brock Lesnar and now has the opportunity to punt him in the head. No, it's not going to happen. The best way to do it is The Undertaker. And like you said earlier on, are we going to hear an Undertaker promo before WrestleMania? Probably not. No. So he's going to show up. You're going to have the great entrance. He's going to take the hood off. We're going to see his face again. He's going to do what he does with Bray Wyatt. He goes away afterwards. And then on Raw, during the middle of a raging speech from Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar, the gong goes off again. Brock Lesnar comes out, or the Undertaker does what he has to do with Brock Lesnar. And then they both disappear. And then you go from there.
All righty. Let's go to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hi, Brian and Mike. This is Danny Hernandez from Dallas, Texas.
What's up, Danny?
And I got a little quick question here, because I've been watching last night's Friday's episode of New Japan on Access. It's a very fun show. But I'm looking at their schedule since Josh Barnett said a couple a month ago that they're looking for season 2 and 3, and looking like how far they are. Like this current run going to end like around like August. Do you see Access like Marl and Josh doing commentary on matches from the Wrestle Kingdom 9 show that had JR on it, or would you just skip that event all together? Because how awesome would it be to have that? The main event for WrestleMania Kingdom 9, you have like a tape that has JR calling it, another tape that has Marl calling it. Any thoughts on this?
What do you think, Mike?
I'd love to hear it myself, but I don't know what the rights issues would then be between Global Force and that deal along with New Japan.
Do they air the Tokyo Dome show in Japan on their hour long television show? Do they air it over a matter of weeks, or do they never air it?
I'm not sure what they did with this one. I really don't. They could have done it over, you know, weeks. And I don't know what any rights issues would be with Global Force and that particular show. If there's none, I would love to hear it. But again, I just would have to know what rights does Jeff Jarrett have as far as that rebroadcast in the States, since he was, you know, helped promote it and help get JR on board in the whole nine yards. I don't know what that would be, but I would be all for it.
Just got a report here that Triple H just tweeted, "Rest in peace to Pero Aguayo Jr." So I guess it is possible that they may make mention of it on the Raw show tomorrow. Maybe we'll get a graphic, maybe not. I believe he did work for WWE for a short period of time. And also CMLL did a tribute to him, the entire CMLL roster, applauding Pero to heaven, says Sphinx here on the board. One of the most unique and memorable tributes to a fallen luchador. He had not worked for CMLL since 2008. So there you go.
And one of the best pieces of merchandise out there was that T-shirt. That Peros Del Mar T-shirt was awesome.
That's right, Peros Del Mar T-shirt. It's going to be so interesting to see where AAA goes now. I don't know if we even mentioned it, but we mentioned on the Dave show last night, by far the biggest star in the company. They were going to build around him, and now he is gone. Back in just a moment, Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. I know people hate when we say this, but if you could only hear the discussions we have off the air. Wrestling Observer Live, everybody. Brian Alvarez here, along with Mike Sempervivi. WrestleMania week is about to kick off, everybody. Monday through Friday here on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We will be back every day, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern. And a special treat, a couple of those days are going to be travel days for me. And so, Sempy, I hope you're ready to step up.
I am indeed. Don't worry,
man. I've now on air challenged you to host the show in my absence.
You know, I've done this before, way back when, in another time in space. Do you recall this?
I do, and you host wrestling, or you host the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare. So I'm sure that you will be excellent here on this program. Don't be too good though, because I want a job when I come back.
That's okay, and don't worry, everybody. I'll be bringing in ringers to help.
That's right. We got a lot of stuff coming up over the next week, including some big guests. It's going to be a very exciting show. Don't forget that this program replays at 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 Eastern in the morning, Monday morning, and every day, Monday through Thursday, actually Tuesday through Friday, we have a 9 a.m. replay of The Daily Show. The Daily Show also replays at 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern. There's 21 hours of programming on Sports Byline USA dedicated to Wrestling Observer Live. And, of course, the shows are always up for subscribers within about 5 minutes after the conclusion. But first off, live shows tomorrow at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern. Do not miss it. We got a big week coming up heading into WrestleMania. And that's going to do it from here, everybody. I want to thank everybody at Sports Byline USA. Mike, as always, Dr. Lucha, all the callers, and you, the listeners. Talk to you again tomorrow, Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.